Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mark Cimino. I've been blessed to be here about four times. Actually got to preach here one time, and it was a blessing. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm fairly new into the ministry. I say new about 4 or 5 years that I've been surrendered to the ministry and preaching. And anytime I get the opportunity to do a devotional or a Bible study or preach or anything, I'm just, I thank God every time. So I want to open in prayer and then I'll get started. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you now, Heavenly Father, and I just want to give you thanks and praise, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to be used by you, Heavenly Father, not only to be able to do this devotional, Heavenly Father, but also to serve, Heavenly Father, because that's what you call us to do, is to serve others, Heavenly Father. And I'm thankful and give you all the glory for it, Heavenly Father. I ask you to use me today, Heavenly Father. Don't let it be my words, but your words, Heavenly Father, that are spoken. And out of everything, out of this whole thing, Heavenly Father, I just want to make you proud, Heavenly Father. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to do a devotional here on the parable of the sower. Most everybody heard the parable, and most people or a lot of people think that the parable of the sower is based off of salvation, that it's a salvation thing. Each soil is representative of if the person is saved. But it's really, if you read it, you read the whole thing, it's about bearing fruit. Out of all the soils that they do, the four that they do, there's only one that shows that the person has not accepted Christ and has salvation. The other three soils, they've actually accepted Christ. It's just, are they bearing fruit? Are they doing what Christ asked them to do? And that's what I'm going to go over. And I'm going to mostly talk about that third soil, that soil that is that gets thrown in with the thorns and the weeds. Because I think 90% of Christians, that's where we are. 90% of us, that's where we are. And that's why I'm going to go through all of them, but I'm going to go heavily into that one there. So I'm going to be in Luke. I'm going to be reading in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. And I'm using the King James Version today. Luke 8, 4 through 8. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprung up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So he explains that, and pretty much no one understood what word he said. They didn't really get it. They didn't understand. And later on, Jesus explains it to his disciples. And that's where I'm going to go now, in Luke 8, 11 and 12. Here's where Jesus explains what the parable means. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, and they, least they should believe and be saved. So let's first break down that first seed being sown. It says it was sown by the wayside, and it says that it never springs up, it never does anything. The parable says the birds come and eat it, but Jesus was saying Satan comes and just takes it away. So one of you all witness to someone, and you give them it, you give them the message, and it's like it goes in one ear and out the other ear. It just isn't, it ain't picked up. They just ain't ready yet, or or it just ain't the right timing for them. Those are the type of people that will argue about every verse you say. They'll nitpick it and say something else about that it can be. This person is lost. This person is a lost person, and they haven't accepted Christ in their heart yet. The devil takes the seed right away, and nothing ever happens. Not that they'll never be saved, but at this point in time in their life, that seed that was sown, it never flourished.
They're
not ready. Exactly. That person just ain't ready. Now, the rock, the next one. Okay, the next soil the seed was sown on says fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now I'm going to go into Matthew and kind of read Matthew's version of this same parable. Matthew 13, 20 and 21. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but it endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So Matthew tells us this person received it. So this is one of us, somebody went out and witnessed to this person, and they received it with joy, it says. They accepted it. They accepted it with joy. They accepted it. But it says it has no root. It had no root. It never grew. It's like I heard it say once before, it's like being an evangelist and you just go out there and preach the word and get people saved and preach the word and get people saved and preach the word and get people saved and then don't do nothing else after that. It would be like someone having a baby and then never caring for it. You have a baby and then just leave it alone. What's going to happen with that baby? It's going to wither away. And that's the same as this parable. And that's what happened. They received it with joy, but because they had no root, it died out. It doesn't mean that that person is not saved. It means they didn't bear fruit. They just didn't become the person that God wanted them to be. And a lot of that, it's sad to say, is on the churches. It goes on the churches because we don't keep inviting them to come back after they are saved and invite them to come into the church. We don't get them plugged into Bible studies. We don't even sometimes give them a Bible to read. A lot of that falls on us, it's sad to say. And this time, you know, in these days, it's hard to say that it's the church is part of why that happens. A lot of times, so many people come to our church. We're a small church too, but we get people come in all the time and they visit and they hear the message and they receive it with joy. And some of them even accept it. We give the invitation, they accept it, and then that's it. We never hear from them again. We never follow up. We never do a visitation to follow up to see how they're doing, to get them plugged in and get the Holy Spirit working inside them, and they can grow and then they can bear fruit. They can become the person that Jesus wants them to be. That's the second seed sown. And it says back to that, as soon as tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately stumbles. When I hear that and they bear no fruit, when I hear that, I think as it might be they tell somebody, oh, I accepted Jesus, and then their family or their friends or their work friends start giving them a hard time about it, and because of that they shy away from it and walk away. They're embarrassed to say it. Now let's look at the next seed, and this one here is the one I really believe is where 90% of Christians are at. We're going to find that in Matthew 13 verse 7. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. So the seed was sown in the weed. So the seed was sown in weeds. So when it started to grow, the weeds and the thorns were already stronger than the seed was being, and it was being choked out. It was growing. The seed was sprung. It sprung out. It grew. It was a growing Christian. But the weeds and everything else around it were stronger. And that, if we look at it, it's, think of, for instance, for my life, I didn't get saved till I was 35, 38 years old when I got saved. So I had a lot of thorns and roots in my life before I got saved. And then I got saved. And I grew, my Christianity grew in with those weeds and those thorns and grew with it. So there's a lot of struggling going on. There's a lot of battle. And you can't bear fruit that God wants you to bear fruit if there's all thorns and weeds growing up in your life with you, all of the problems that you might have going on. If you, this is a residential area, drive, just walk down the street and look at flower beds. Just take flower beds and look at some flower beds. You'll see some flower beds. There's flowers in there, but they're full of weeds and old grass and everything in there. The flowers are still there, but it ain't cleaned and beautiful and look all nice. Some do, but most of them, you'll see the flowers, and then in it, there'll be weeds growing out of it because it's not being tended. It's not being taken care of. And that's like us as Christians. We need to take care of our what we have, that salvation, that thing God gave us. We need to take care of it. We need to be able, we need to take care of it. And you see, unlike the seed that was sown in the soil among the rocks, it had no roots and withered. It was this soil. This soil is not shallow. It's not deep to establish growth and its growing. The problem is it is growing among the things that are robbing, the nutrition and moisture that is needed for it to thrive and produce the fruit that it was intended to bear. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it grows, but it doesn't grow to its full potential. We don't get to our full potential as Christians. As Christians, we should be able to, with the Holy Spirit that's living inside us and the power that we have inside us with the Holy Spirit, we could be doing amazing things. Amazing things. 12 disciples turned the world upside down. 12 disciples turned the world upside down. Mm-hmm. And we have problems filling the church. Mm-hmm. And 12 disciples turned the world upside down. It's what we need to do is clean our garden. That's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We need to clean our garden. Amen. We need to look and clean our garden. What are the things in our life that we need to pull out the weeds? We have to pull out the weeds and get them out of there. We have to do whatever it takes so we can bear fruit that God wants us to fruit. That does come to 30, 60, 100 fold. But for most Christians in the world, we're saved. We're coming to church. We might even be reading our Bible. We're doing things. But we're not coming to that full potential. We're not producing that fruit that Jesus wants us to produce. We're not doing it. We have other things in our life that are holding us back.
Yeah.
Let me go on to back to Luke. I want to read something. Luke 8. Back to Luke 8 and verses 14. Now the ones that fell on the thorns are the ones, this is just a different version of Matthew's version. It explains it a little bit differently, kind of like what I just shared. Now the ones that fell among the thorns, and those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. And Jesus is talking about a Christian that are not living to its full potential. Kind of what I just shared already. I'm just reading the verse. I said it, and I'm reading the verse that says that, that backs it up. We're more concerned about the things of this world and the lust of money and the houses and the cars and the all those other things than we are what we're really supposed to be turning to. And that's turning to God. Those things we shouldn't even be worried about those. Those are the things we shouldn't even be worried about. Those things cause us problems. They cause us headaches. We need to get them out of our life so God can use us. And God tells us that if we would do that, if we would put Him first, He'll bless us with those other things. He would bless us with those things. I'm not saying that if you do what God said, He's going to give you a new house and a new car and a new. I'm not saying that. I'm not doing prosperity preaching. But the Bible says that if we put Him first, He will take care of all those other things. He's talking about all those other concerns and problems and things that you have going on in your life. That need for transportation, it might not be a car, but He'll get you where you need to go.
Amen.
He'll take care of you. That's what He's saying. Put Him first, and I'll take care of you. Put me first, and I'll take care of you. Yeah, the pleasures of life and the stuff we desire choke out what God desires for us. The Bible tells us we can't serve two masters. We will love one and hate the other. And we can't straddle the fence. And that's what a lot of us do. A lot of us do, including myself. Anytime I preach, I'm talking about myself also. We straddle that fence. We're straddling that fence. We're right there. We're in the world. We're with God. We love God. We care for God. But we're in the world. We straddle the fence. We got 1 foot here and 1 foot here.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't want that. He wants us as far away from that as possible. As far away as we can get away from that. And closer to Him. We can't straddle that fence. One more example. I read it in the Amplified Bible. I don't know if you've heard of it or I'm even allowed to use it in here. I'm actually getting yelled at for not using it. I'm just kidding. But it was in the Amplified Bible. But the way it says it spoke volumes to me. It's Luke 8:14 again in the Amplified version of the Bible. And as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but then they go on their own way. They are choked and suffocated with anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life, and the fruit does not ripen. It never comes to maturity and perfection. And that's what God wants from us. He wants that perfection. But because of all those things in the world that we let control us, we never get to where God wants us to be. We never get there.
Mm-hmm.
And He wants to do so many things with us, not for us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do so many things with us. Mm-hmm. He wants to use us in mighty, 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 mighty ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty ways. If we would just put all that stuff aside and let Him use us how He wants to use us.
Mm-hmm.
I love how that translation says, the fruit does not ripen. It doesn't ripen. It never comes to maturity. We're Christians. We're growing. We come to church.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not growing and we're not producing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're called to do, produce fruit.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do, produce fruit. Bring others to His kingdom. We know the time is short. We can see it everywhere. And we need to get out there more and more and more and be spreading His word.
Mm-hmm.
And be spreading His word.
Amen.
Amen.
It's one of my struggles. I struggle with it too. Like I said, everything I say up here, most of the messages I ever do always because it's something that I'm going through and struggling with, and then I end up spilling my guts out to everyone else. No, just kidding. So how do we address these? How do we address these things? When you have a garden and weeds start taking over that garden, mm-hmm. What do? When you have a garden, and you walk outside your garden and it starts getting
weedy.
Right. We water it. You start watering it. You fertilize it. You use weed killer.
Yeah.
And you pull the weeds out of it.
Yeah.
You pull the weeds out of it. Clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing we need to do. We clean up our life. Mm-hmm. We look at the things that are taken us away from what God wants from us, and we cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do the same. I said it already. We need to do the same to produce spiritual fruit. That's what we need to do. Just like we tend the garden, we need to tend our spiritual life and remove the things that prevent us from producing spiritual fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when you water it, or there's this thing called Miracle-Gro, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a garden here, Miracle-Gro. They say, oh, just use this here, and it'll grow like crazy. So that's one of the things we need to do for our life, is to bear spiritual fruit in our garden. Water it, or Miracle-Gro. And what does that equal? Read this thing. This Miracle-Gro right here. Read it. Get into this word and read it. Read it. You'll learn so much. The Holy Spirit will speak to you so much. He'll help you change your life just by reading this book.
Amen.
By you just coming on Sunday and hearing me or your pastor or any church, and that's the only time you ever hear this, how are you going to get any growth out of that? How are you going to get it? What you're really getting, I'm doing this message right here, what you're getting is my interpretation of this. That's what you're getting, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
That you're getting what I read out of it. If you get something out of it, great. But it's only what if you're just reading what I get out of it. You read it and let the Holy Spirit tell you what it says.
Amen.
And you'll grow from it.
Amen.
And you'll grow from it.
Amen.
The next thing, fertilize it. Right? And water it. Read your Bible. Fertilize it. Come to church. Listen to messages. Not only one message. Listen to messages from the internet, the radio, coming to church, videotapes, music. We can get fertilized so much by just being plugged in, by just listening to Christianity. The more we pour Christianity in us and God's love into us, the less of the world is going to be into us. There's no room. We only can be filled with so much. We can be filled with the world, or we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we keep filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit, the world and the flesh has to go somewhere, and it's going to go out. It's going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I say this one thing. Every night before I go to bed, I lay down in bed and I think and I look at that day. Day by day, I look at that day and I say, was I more like Adam or was I more like Jesus today? I go through my day and look at all the wrong things I did and all the good things I did. And I say, was I more like Adam today or was I more like Christ today?
Mm-hmm.
And try that.
Yeah.
Lie down and try that. And each day, you might say, oh, I was 90% Adam today. But the next day, it might only be 80%. And the next day, it might only be 40%. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you'll be being more like Christ and less like Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. It ain't going to happen overnight, but it's going to happen by reading this Bible, listening to messages, praying, like the next one, weed killer, right? That's the other way we clean out our gardens, weed killer. And what did we say? We get down on our knees and we pull out. Get down on your knees and you pull out those weeds. It's a prayer. That's a prayer. Get on your knees and pray to God. Talk to God. Have that relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out those weeds. Tell them those problems you have in your life, those struggles that you're struggling with. We have them. I have them. We get on our knees. It's just like pulling weeds in a garden. You're on your knees. You're praying to God and asking him to help you with the problems you're having that you're struggling with.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And those are the things we need to do to clean our garden.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we clean our garden.
Mm-hmm.
By, that's how we do it, by doing that. I want to go back to that second soil because I don't want to leave out those people where I shared about people that it says that there was no root, it never sprung up, there wasn't enough root, it just got choked out by the weeds, but it fell on the soil that was too rocky and it could never even grow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to that one there. It says back to the second seed sown in the parable, it was too shallow soil and produced no root. The root never transplanted, the root never It never grew root. So what are those people got to do? Or what do we got to help those people do? Like when I shared, they come to our church for the first time. We love on them.
Yes.
Some of them might get saved, and then we never see them again. We need to, the church's part is to get out there and talk to those people, go visit them, talk with them. I'm supposed to be over that at my church, and I do a terrible job at it. I'm admitting it right now, I do a terrible job. We get visitors, and I get them to fill out the cards. But what? I'm too busy to go out and do it. Monday night, football's on. Tuesday night, this is going on. Wednesday night, church. Thursday's this. Friday, and I never have time to go out and connect with those people. We, as Christians, need to connect with those people. We need to get out there and connect with those people. The other things are a football game. It's a football game. I love football, but when it comes down to it, it's a football game. Compared to getting someone to be able to go to heaven, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. Those people, what they need is, they might say a plant is in some kind of soil or some kind of dirt that's contaminated. It can't be cleaned. It can't be just pulled the weeds out of it, the roots. It can't do it. It ain't going to survive. They need to be transplanted. Just like you transplant a plant from a pot. The pot gets too small and it stops growing. It needs to be in a bigger pot. Those type of people need to be transplanted. And what I mean by that is they need to get away from the people, the places, and the things that are holding them down. Mm-hmm. They need to be transplanted. And it's the church's job to help them do that. Mm-hmm. It's our job. If they come to a church to visit a church, there's a reason they came. They're seeking something. And when they leave, if we don't see them again, that's on us. That's on us. But if we can befriend them, not throw the Bible at them, but befriend them and get to know them better and get to know them better. And then they start hanging with us and then they start telling us their problems and then they'll stop hanging out with those people that they shouldn't be hanging out with.
Right.
And they'll stop going to those places that they shouldn't be going to and they'll stop doing those things that they shouldn't be doing. And then they can start growing and bearing fruit. And the last one, and I'm about to close. The last one is the fourth seed. And it says the fourth seed fell on good soil. And that's where everyone here is, right? No, I'm kidding. The fourth seed is on the good soil. It's in Matthew 13:8. But others fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But we must understand we all have different type of fruit tree. And that's why it says 30, 60, 100. So don't get discouraged if you're only producing 30 and someone else is producing 100. Because God made you to produce that. That's what God had you for. That's what he had you to produce that fruit. Once you reach that potential, you've got that. That's what you're producing. So I want to leave you on that. Don't get discouraged if you see other people or big mega churches and you think, why? Why is this happening? Why have we been doing this all this time? Why are we only here and they're over there and they've been doing it for 6 months and we've been here for 10 years? Don't get discouraged. God has you, where he has you for a purpose and a plan. The people that you're reaching where you are is exactly where he wants you to be at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to close out in prayer. I put down here, if anyone in here represents that fourth soil, please come and talk to me after service so I can learn from you guys. But that's a joke too, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to close out in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just give you thanks and praise again for this opportunity, Heavenly Father. I hope it spoke to somebody, Heavenly Father. I hope it was able to penetrate hearts, Heavenly Father. I hope it was able to let people start thinking of the things in their life that are holding them back from that fruit that you want them to bear, Heavenly Father. That fruit that you want us all to bear, Heavenly Father. And I just give you, again, thanks and praise for the opportunity to be able to speak. And I just pray that I made you proud. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.